the makers of Rexall drug products and 10,000 independent Rexall family druggists bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, private detective.
Speaking to you for the 10,000 independent druggists who have made the word Rexall part of our own store name, and who recommend and sell the 2,000 or more drug products made for the Rexall Drug Company. Like Rexall Milk of Magnesia, for example. Here's a milk of magnesia, so pure, so mild, so creamy smooth, and free from earthy grittiness, even children taste the difference. Ask for Rexall Milk of Magnesia at Rexall drug stores everywhere. And remember, you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall. Now your Rexall family druggist brings you another exciting half hour with Richard Diamond, private detective, starring Dick Powell.
Who you are, and how you got my office.
I got tired of waiting in the hall, so I presented a scrum room with a $5 bill.
So it cost you $5?
$5 bill.
So?
My name's Roger Blake, Vice President of Intercontinental Indemnity and Bond. My company has an insurance policy.
I don't know what you want, but doesn't a big company like yours have some pretty good insurance detectives?
Yes, but none of them have been able to do any good.
Oh, what's the problem?
The jewels were stolen.
That's a pretty good problem.
The jewels were stolen from Mrs. Carter's safe some 3 months ago. Until yesterday, neither our men nor the police had a clue as to the thief.
Thief? Only one?
Only one that we know of.
Hmm.
Last night, we got a tip that a certain man was responsible for the theft.
Mm-hmm.
That he knows where the jewels are hidden.
Please, Brindle?
No, and for a very good reason. This man is being held in Havana, awaiting extradition this weekend. When he gets back, he's bound to serve at least 10 years, and we are due to pay off Mrs. Carter's policy by Monday noon of next week.
And you want to know where he stashed the jewels before they put him away?
Exactly.
Well, now, let's see. This is Thursday. You haven't much time.
Yes, we must hurry. It's reasonable to believe the jewels are someplace in Cuba. When they extradite him, he will leave and the jewels will remain behind.
Oh, what's his name?
William Carnes.
Mm-hmm. Wanted in the state, 2 counts of forgery.
Yes, that's the man.
Now, what makes you think he knows where the jewels are?
As I said, Mr. Diamond, a tip. My own source of information, and usually quite reliable.
What do you want me to do?
Do your utmost to find out where the jewels are before Carnes is extradited.
When are they sending an officer down to pick him up?
Today or tomorrow. You must meet them there.
Well, then I'll have to get a search permit and ticket.
You can take care of the permit this afternoon. As for the ticket, I have one here on the 6 o'clock plane.
Oh, now, here, not like things. Maybe I don't like the time.
I'll give you a $500 retainer now, and another $500 when you deliver the jewels.
Oh, well, I'm always asking stupid questions.
Several things to remember. My company wants credit for recovering the jewels.
Of course.
The police are not to be told, as they may cause delay. We haven't a time.
Well, if this Mrs. Carter knows the jewels have been recovered, won't she be glad to give you an extension?
No, indeed. She'd rather have the $800,000.
Makes sense.
Here's your return ticket. No, something else. If Carnes is taken away before you accomplish your mission, wire me at the Plaza in Miami Beach. If you have the jewels, fly to Miami, where I shall meet you. If you don't succeed, may return to New York, and the incident will be forgotten.
If I get the jewels, I'm to meet you in Miami?
I'm leaving on a vacation, and I would like to return with the jewels myself. As I said...
Your company wants the credit.
Exactly.
He paid me in 5 crispy $2,100 bills and left the office, so I left also. When a man like Roger Blake walks in, offers me the total sum of 1,000 iron men to locate $800,000 in missing jewels, things start confusing me. I have a habit of putting myself in a prospective client's place and then asking the simple question, why? I decided if I were Mr. Roger Blake, I might gladly pay $1,000 for a chance at an $800,000 jackpot. I headed to the 5th Precinct Police Station to do some checking.
Oh, hello, Rick.
Hello, Murph. Where's Otis?
In with the lieutenant. I'm taking over for the next couple of days.
Taking over? What's the matter with Otis?
Oh, he's leaving town tomorrow morning. Extradition job.
Extradition job? Otis?
Otis.
Wouldn't by any chance be Cuba?
Certainly would. How'd you know?
Well, he can't be going down there to bring back a criminal. Gotta be a spotted gorilla or something. Somebody he can talk to. He in with the lieutenant?
Yeah, go ahead. Let me know what you find out.
What difference does it make? Who's going to believe it anyway?
You're all have to speak the language, Hornhead. Somebody will be there to meet you. Oh, hello, Rick.
Good afternoon, Lieutenant. How are you, Sergeant Loveloon?
Como esta bueno, amigo?
Oh, an accent from a Castillo.
By way of explanation.
Otis is going to Cuba.
How did you find out?
Murph told me.
I'll have his badge. Outside of this office is to be considered nothing but an underground.
But I am going.
Yes, you am.
Walt.
Don't look at me, Rick. It's the commissioner. I've sent the police psychiatrist up there to see him unofficially, of course.
The old man told you to send Otis?
Right over that intercom.
Well, he must have given you a reason. That's like blowing up Boulder Dam to take a shower.
Now, what kind of a remark is that, Thomas?
I've been trying to think of that all day.
Otis, go home and start packing.
I'm packed.
You just found out about this morning. How can you be packed?
Well, it's a package of 10 cents, a gross of Blue Jay corn plasters, and his book on 301 things a bright boy can do. He's packed.
Okay, okay. You'll leave tomorrow afternoon. Go get your papers.
Right, Lieutenant. After we are sealed, I have...
All right! Go.
Who did you say he was going to bring back?
William Carnes. You remember him. We got a tip he was hiding out in Cuba, and we had the authorities down there pick him up.
They holding him in the jail in Havana?
Yeah.
Do me a favor, will you?
Oh, but
check on a guy named Roger Blake. Supposed to be a vice president of a firm called Intercontinental in Bombay.
Anything special?
Full background, anything you can find out. I need it today. I'm sort of taking a little vacation myself, starting this evening.
Yeah? Why don't you go along with Otis? You'll be nice this time of year. You can help him keep his brains in one lump.
Cuba sounds great, but you know me, Walt. Where would I get enough money to take a trip like that? Diamond talking.
Walt, nothing wrong with Roger Blank, Rick.
Hmm?
The vice president of the bonding corporation, like you said, married once. Wife died 4 years ago. Has a brother somewhere in the West, William Blake. Nothing on him.
What else?
Well, let's say, vacations in Florida every year about this time. Used to be in charge of the Cuban office of Intercontinental, whatever that is. And you working for him?
You're getting nosy now.
Well, he's got a good record. Gambles a lot when he's down in Florida, but who doesn't?
How about his financial statement?
Not bad, not good. He's got about $15,000 in the bank.
Okay, thanks. I'm in the rush, Walt.
Well, have a good time.
You'll hear all about it. I grabbed my plane okay, and 6 hours later, we dropped down for a landing at the Havana airport. I checked in at customs, and being able to habla enough Espanol, I got a tip-hungry cabbie to take me to one of the better hotels, $3 a night. I got a good night's sleep, and bright and early the next morning, went over to the local Bastille. After not too much effort, I was able to visit William Carnes in his jail cell.
Someone to see you, Mr. Carnes.
Well, I'm just making a new part of peace.
You can call when you are here, senor.
Hello, Carnes.
Did the cop come down and take me back?
No. I understand he won't be here until late this afternoon.
Well, who are you? Seems to be no privacy even in jail.
Name's Diamond. I'm a novelist.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was in Havana and I heard you were going to be extradited. I thought you might have an interesting story.
I'll bet you did.
I understand you're wanted for 2 counts of forgery.
Oh, you do, huh?
No story?
No story.
Okay, pronto, move, or I stick you again. I move.
Hey,
move.
What's going on out there?
I don't know.
This is your current cell.
When, amigo? When? This is a cell. What do you want? What's the idea of a knife?
I want you out of this lousy jail, senor. The idea of the knife is to slit this big throat if you do not open your cell. You will open it now?
See, I open it.
He held the knife at the jailer's throat while the door was open. He was dressed in what used to be a white Panama suit. He stood about 5 feet 4, weighing in around 200. On his feet, he wore sandals, which looked like he'd stayed up nights chewing holes in them. On top of his head, covering his shaggy black hair, was a straw hat, and stuck in his fat lip was a long black cheroot. Between the smell of garlic and cigar smoke, I began to feel what it might be like to come face to face with a bilious dragon.
Senor Carnes, vamanos,
who's that?
Hey, friend. You go now, Poncho.
So look, fella,
you
I
go have... too, senor.
If I had time, I would let everybody out.
I don't get your angle, but I'm not squawking, okay, thanks?
Then,
now, you get in the cell, Jero. Senor Diamond, you want to squawk.
That's exactly what I did. I don't dig it with a dirt. I had a .38 under my arm that could have caused a lot of trouble, but I wanted to try and tail Carnes. Knowing that the law was on the way to picking up, Carnes might just head for the jewels and try to get out of the country. I went out of that building like a homesick jackrabbit, and I lapped Carnes ducking into a building about halfway down the street. The sign over the door read, Eduardo, Havana, Brooklyn, Cafe. Made me feel right at home, so I slowed down to a sprint and went in.
Listening to Richard Diamond, Private Detective. Brought to you by the makers of Rexall Drug Products and your Rexall Family Drug. And here he is.
Whenever warm weather rolls around, people start talking about air conditioning, and I start talking about the air-conditioned aspirin tablet.
You mean Rexall aspirin?
Exactly, ma'am.
But why do you say it's an air-conditioned aspirin tablet?
Well, it's the extremely low moisture content of Rexall aspirin that makes it break up so quickly. And in order to keep it that way, Rexall aspirin is compounded in specially sealed air-conditioned rooms where the humidity and temperature are kept at ideal levels. That's one reason why Rexall aspirin, when followed with water, disintegrates even before it reaches your stomach.
Well, that's good enough for me.
And it's good enough for 10,000 independent family drivers, too. Quality like that is what we're talking about when we tell you you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Now back to tonight's adventure with Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
The bar room in Eduardo's Havana, Brooklyn Cafe was small and dark. Carnes was nowhere in sight, so I walked over to a long bar and watched the lazy bartender move slowly up the counter with a wet bar rag.
Something for you, Mac?
Yeah. You American?
Yeah. So I got sold on siesta.
Where did the guy go who came in here just before I did?
I didn't see no one.
Now, look. A guy by the name of Carnes just romped in here, and he didn't go back out the front door. Are you going to tell me where he went, or I'm going to fix it up so you take your siesta early?
You know, friend, I got a bunch of bottles stuck, too.
Good. Line them up. I'll see if I can shoot the corks out.
You win, Max. Carnes went to see Maria. She thinks in the evening. Go at the top of the stairs.
I took off up the stairs like the V1 and didn't remember to knock at Maria's door. I went in, and there, standing in the middle of the room, was the best reason I could think of for upholding the good neighbor policy. Her south of the border, plus her north of the border. Wow, what a gorgeous job it is.
Yes?
Where's Carnes?
Don't you think it would have been more polite to knock?
Now, baby, I'm in a hurry. Sometimes I get so wound up, I forget my manners. Now, where's time?
I don't know who you are talking about.
Where did he go?
Who, senor?
Honey, now listen. I just had trouble with a bartender. He said time came up here to see you. Okay, now I got you. I still need time. So shall I start convincing you two?
How do you propose to convince?
Well, right now, time's important. $500 left sitting. For 5 C's, I might even become a bully and start twisting arms.
I'm not going to tell you where to find time.
But as much as it hurts me, I'll have to twist your arm.
You're not twisting very hard.
Oh, well, my mind was on something else.
My leg?
No, it was about that $500 I was going to get for bringing in time.
Yeah.
I really don't need it all.
No?
No. You like Carnes a lot?
Yeah. He's the best one around.
Oh.
Why?
Oh, I could get along on half of the $500.
I could get along on a lot less. Will you come back?
Where can I find time?
You can leave at 10:50 now. Just to make sure you come back, of course.
I could leave 100 just to make sure you give me the right address, of course.
No more address, Avenida Portillo.
No, thanks.
Forget 200. I trust you. When you come back, you can bring everything.
I may be bald. I think my hair just caught on fire. I left before the room filled up with smoke and went down to the bartender again. He told me where to find Avenida Portillo. The back entrance to the cafe opened on it. It was a dead-end street. A half block down, I found Romero 3, a hired building all slumped down. I quietly tried the door, finding it locked. I knocked so quietly, braced myself against the firewall, and took off like an erratic tire driver. I had to make it full the first time I hit it. It did, and I sprawled in just in time to see Kynes dive for a dressed drawer. He stopped cold, and he saw the .38 in my hand.
Okay, don't shoot.
All right now, Happy Fingers. I won't unless you get too frisky.
Well,
all right,
you're carrying a
funny tool. Yeah, and it writes in lead on all six cylinders. Where's the stuff? Now get with it.
You know about...
Yes, I know about the jewels. Come on, now give.
Well, can't we make a deal? There's 800,000 in
currency,
right here in the
bedroom.
You can get at least 500 grand at a
cent,
and
250
is yours.
Oh, my itching palm. What have you think that to happen to me?
Do not worry about it, senor.
What is it?
As I say, senor, do not worry about the jewels now. I and my 45 will take all the responsibility. Hand me your pistola, senor. Now, are you doing
it? I don't get it. First you bust me on the stern, then you come in here.
Oh, you got it now?
He springs me and I bird dog him to the jewels.
Well, I did not know what you would lead me to, senor, but I am one happy man. It turned out to be this. Keep them up and put them in my hat, senor.
Fat boy, you said a friend sent you to get Kynes out.
No, not my friend. Friend of senor Kynes. I see he had good reason for wanting him out of jail, so I follow. And I'm smart, you know. And you reach now this is yours, senor.
Here you are.
That's it. I don't think he should come after me for a while. I...
Pretty good, huh? Adios, senor, and once more,
Kynes and I both went to the gun in that dresser drawer like a mate to the gin bottle. It was bargain day in Kynes' basement until Kynes decided to pick up a piece of the metal bedpost and start me on the fiesta habit. When I finally came around, well, I'd done it. Well done. I'd lost the 800,000 in jewels, William Kynes, and enough blood from my scalp wound to make a vampire to a shotty. I stumbled out of the building and put in a call to the plaza in Miami. Before I could shake a maraca, Mr. Roger Blake was on the pipe.
Yes?
Mr. Blake, this is Diamond.
Yes, Diamond.
I was in touch with the party you sent me to see and took me to the item you wanted me to get hold of.
Well?
A big bundle of garlic speaking broken English and carrying a pistola is now in possession of the item.
You mean you had to... And you let someone take them away from you?
Yes. There's something bothering me. I want to know who gave you that tip. Maybe they tipped the Cuban wino who swiped the item from me. That way I can locate the guy and maybe still earn my other 500.
Well, get the whole thing, Diamond.
What?
Keep the original 500 and go on home. Just forget everything. You understand?
Yeah. Goodbye, Mr. Blake. I really didn't understand much, except that a very bad smell was beginning to creep over from Denmark and land in Havana. I couldn't put my finger on it, but something was really wrong. I thought the thing out and then put in calls to all the ticket offices in Miami. I got the answer I wanted. United Airlines in Miami said a Mr. Roger Blake had booked passage and was due in Havana at 5 that evening. I was waiting at the airport when Mr. Roger Blake, as big as life, stepped down from the big transport and I trailed him out of the cab stand. He climbed in a hack and took off with my cab right behind. Blake's cab reached the outskirts of town and stopped on a dirt street, fronted by adobe buildings. I had my cab pull up a safe distance behind and got out. Blake went up to one of the buildings and knocked on the door. Someone let him in, and I went around back to find a way to get in. I found it in the form of an open window. I could hear voices coming from the front of the place.
Certainly glad to see you,
Senor Blake.
Can I get you some
batardi
or something?
You
can stay right there.
And
tell me where they are,
one with you. I slipped quietly in and started moving in their general direction. It was thick dark. So I made like a bat, feeling the walls and hoping I wouldn't bump into something. Through a crack in the door, I could spot two people. Mr. Roger Blake and Short Fat and Dangerous himself.
I want the jewels, one.
So do I, Senor, and I do not give them unless you want to pay me for
it. I've already paid you well.
To get Senor Pons out of jail. Okay, I did that.
Well, I warn you.
No, you do not warn me, Senor. I don't care of you.
That's what I heard of. Some copycat climbed in the same window I had was heading to the front of the house. While Juan and Blake continued to argue, I ducked into the shadows at the side of the door and waited. I didn't have to wait long to let snuck William Times, and his hand was the 32 we'd wrestled over earlier. He poked the muzzle of the gun into the room and went in after it. Roger Blake turned to meet him, and for the first time I saw the gun in Blake's hand. They both froze, keeping their sights on each other's record. Juan took on a swamp alligator smile and sat down to watch.
Well, William, I am so glad to see you again.
I'll bet you are. Better drop the gun.
My dear.
He is your brother. Senor Carnes is your brother.
We don't brag about it.
Especially when one of us is a cheat.
And the others are no good double-crossing louts. You get the police when I was in
them. What are you there? Hey, if you're brothers, how come your name's Carnes and your name Blake?
I changed mine a long time ago when I got into some trouble. I didn't want to ruin my beloved brother's reputation.
Senor Blake, very good reputation. He hired me to get you out of jail so that diamond fellow could follow you. He said nothing about the jewels, but I knew Senor Blake when he used to work in Havana. This would not cost him
a threat. I want to do a job for him, please.
Senor Carnes had the jewels.
Half of them were supposed to be...
Mother, look me up and ask me to see. Sure, I swiped them and forgot to split. So what?
Well, you got it.
Point for nothing.
Real mistake. One who has the jewels, and I am not giving to anyone.
Well, I might as well get in on this. All the opt-in free. Carnes turned and tried his luck. I felt the bullet part my hair and hit the linoleum. Carnes was aiming again, but he forgot to figure three things. His brother, his brother's nasty disposition, and the gun his brother was aiming at him. Carnes took the slug right around the belt line, and he went down like a punctured zeppelin. He must have cut his spine in two because he folded up the teeth. Then Blake decided to add me and play for a pair. And just as he started to squeeze the trigger, I saw Juan reach back to his collar. His arm hissed down in a blurred half arc. And before Blake could nail me, he was trying to squirm away from the 10-inch knife that made a gory chasm between his shoulder blades. I grabbed his gun quickly and covered Juan.
They did not love each other, these two. I threw pretty good, eh?
Yeah. Thanks, Juan.
Mm-hmm. I suppose you're going to want the jewels too, aren't you?
That's right.
Would you consider what you call the partnership?
Afraid not.
Mm-hmm. And the jewels?
Turning them over to the constabulary.
Oh, senor.
That's the truth.
Okay. And me?
Well, you killed man.
Boy, I say you're alive.
I'm not the police, so I can't arrest you. And I would think a long time before I'd shoot a man who saved my life.
Oh, you would.
But I warn you, don't try to make a break for it.
Oh, I think I've got to. I do not want to stay in jail. The jewels are in my heart. I leave them in the middle of the floor. Adios, amigo.
Come back, Juan. Stop her, I'll shoot. Miss.
Well,
Maria will understand. I found the phone and explained the whole situation to the local chief of police, who was just leaving to meet one Sergeant Otis Lovelone arriving on the 7 o'clock plane from New York. I ducked out because in my blood was the call of the wild goose, and in 20 minutes I was sitting in Maria's room over the cafe.
I'm glad you came back, Lee.
I didn't get that extra 500.
Oh, Jim, I'm really glad, because you must have come back just because you wanted to see me.
Well, yes, I had something to do with it.
You like Mrs. Blake, do you?
Oh, sure. Love it. Mm-hmm. Oh, love it.
Déjame mucho. Each time I cling to your kiss, I hear music divine. darling, and say that you'll always be mine. This joy is something new, my arms enfolding you, never knew this thrill before. Who ever thought I'd be holding you close to me, whispering it you adore. Dearest one, if you should leave me, each little dream would take wing and my life would be through. Besame mucho. Love me forever and make all my dreams come true.
Oh, well, it's, you know, it's...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, the reason for the ears twitching is quite interesting. It seems that when I was very young, I... Mm. Isn't it too much light in here? You see, I have a terrible fear of light. Mastophobia, they call it. Well, I... Oh, no.
Come on, family,
fire up. Oh, no. Otis.
Who is he?
I know you're in now. Let's rush you down.
Goodbye, dear. Call him, will you? His name's Loveloon.
You better open up, Diamond.
Will I see you again?
Not if you don't call him. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Yes?
Now, look, I don't...
Come in.
Well, I don't digest.
Come in.
In a moment. But now, once more, here's your Rexall family druggist.
In a recent nationwide survey, American mothers agreed that every family medicine cabinet should contain a reliable all-round mouthwash, gargle, and breast deodorant. And millions of homemakers use Rexall MI-31 to fill that need. First-strength MI-31 kills contacted germs in a few seconds, yet will not harm delicate membranes of the mouth and throat. Ask for Rexall MI-31 at Rexall drugstores everywhere. And remember, you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Dick Powell. This is our first show in our new series for the Rexall Drug Company. We want to thank you and the 10,000 independent Rexall druggists for making it possible. Good night.
Hiya, beautiful.
Get lost, Bristlepuss. You need a shave.
But I have shaved. What else do you want me to do?
Silly boy, she wants you to go stag.
Go stag? But why?
Because Stag is Rexall's exclusive line of men's good grooming aids. Like Stag brushless shave cream. No fuss, no massage, just smooth it on and presto. You get a clean, close shave. Your face stays smooth and whiskerless all day long.
I'll do it. Go Stag.
That's it. Join the Stag line now at Rexall drugstores everywhere.
Yes. Yeah. To make girls care. Go Stag.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.